here to call a meeting to order at 2:03 or 2:04. We have all in attendance except for Andy Bueller and Joe Huck. And Joe was excused absence.
Does anybody else want to go Bueller?
So with that, any citizens' comments? Seeing none, move on. Approval of the minutes.
Here comes Andy.
Oh. Here comes Andy. Here he comes. He apparently ran here. He's got to get the water.
Any questions on the minutes?
Move to approve.
Thank you.
Second.
Second. Any discussion? So moved. All in favor, sorry?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
So moved.
Any opposed?
Hi, Andy.
Oh.
How are you?
Doing good.
Good. Before we dive into this too much further and kind of go through the business, I thought it'd be good for us to meet Scott's replacement, not as the assistant director, but as the GIS analyst for land information. Patricia Pendleton.
Hello.
Joined us.
Hello.
How long ago, Patricia?
In September.
September. And you keep coming back, right?
Scared away yet.
So maybe for Patricia's benefit, if we could just introduce ourselves real quickly and then we can move on. So, Patricia, do you have anything that you'd like to say, or maybe 2 seconds about your, maybe more than that, on your background and some of your initial thoughts?
Sure. I moved here a little over a year ago from Southern California. I worked at a university there as a GIS project manager, and when I moved out here, I was eventually, once I was done with my extended vacation, I started looking for a job. I was very pleased to be given this position, and I look forward to continue working with the County of Kenosha.
Great. Well, welcome aboard.
Well, thank you.
So, you know me, Marty Laycock, CIO.
Rob Mary, Southeastern Wisconsin Regional Planning Commission, but the county surveyor for Kenosha.
She knows me.
Oh, she knows you. Okay, like,
I would hope since September. I was just saying. She doesn't. We got a whole other problem.
Yeah, some issues. Horace Staples, I'm the Director of Emergency Management here.
Joellen Storrs, we met, Register of Deeds.
Andy Bueller, Planning and Development.
Peggy Ball Heights, Land Information.
I sit right next to you.
Terry Jacobson, County Treasurer.
John O'Day, County Board Supervisor.
Mike Bastianelli, IT. We've met.
We've met.
Great. Thank you. So at this point, I would normally turn it over to Al.
He's not here.
Al is playing golf someplace, I bet. Scott, maybe you can kind of walk us through some of the agenda items that we put together here.
Okay.
Put together.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The first report will be a report from Rob Mary on the project status on the 2016 and 2017 strategic initiative grants via the Wisconsin Land Information Program. Can you walk us through that, Rob?
2016, 2017, horizontal and yes. The vertical. Obviously, the horizontal. We went through the conversion from NAD 27 to NAD 83. So now we have all the section corners converted that are have dual coordinates. So that's that Kenosha County was the first county in the Southeast region to go through that endeavor. So and progressing with the other counties as we go. Vertically, we're collecting data. This will be a region-wide conversion, not like the county, but due to the trying to maintain the consistency, not only in the county itself, but as a region. And the relationships vertically. Horizontally, we could constrain it and be a little bit more to hold it to the county line, but the vertical is a little bit more comprehensive at this point. So the benchmark collection is in progress. What we're doing is we're devising the relationships between the Wisconsin Height Modernization benchmarks. These are very substantial monuments that are throughout throughout the state that have established NAVD 88 elevations. What we are we will level to those benchmarks throughout the region to then determine the difference between NGVD 29, which is where the region's at, and NAVD 88, and that a mathematical model will be applied to the corners from that model that's been created mathematically. So that will be ongoing, you know, for 2018 as we collect this data. And if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
No?
Very good.
We're all thrilled.
Okay. Well, thank you, Rob. We appreciate it. So that's the status on those two $50,000 grants. We can move on with your permission, Marty, to the 2018 Strategic Initiative Grant.
Okay.
The Wisconsin Land Information Program has allocated a $50,000 grant to us, an additional one for 2018. Now, we spoke about this at our last Land Council meeting, and we took a vote, and the idea at that time was that that grant would be used towards imagery acquisition project. There has been some developments in the budget, and the developments are that that project has been delayed because of potential economic development projects that are happening on the ground. So it was thought best not to fly it in the spring of 2018. So we have this pool of funds, and we have to come up with a project in order to use these funds. The application date for those funds is December 31st, so we had to come up with something by then. Whatever we put in that application has to be cited in our land information plan, which we have a pretty thorough land records modernization plan already, and we do have some project ideas in there, and we'd like to speak about or talk about some of those today. And if there's something that's not in this plan that we would propose using the funds for, we can get this plan amended rather quickly through the state if we need to. So
so what's your suggestion?
I have a suggestion from a mapping standpoint, but obviously I'd like to open it up to other suggestions in there. From a mapping standpoint, I would like to embark on a project to strategically migrate some of our data to alternate data models that would put us in a better position to use off-the-shelf applications that are available to us. I think that would be a good use of the funds potentially. It's something that the our ESRI, our software company, is pushing us towards, and I think that would be a very good use of the funds.
So essentially taking it from a program-specific language to a more general programming language.
It's not a programming language. It's the way we structure the data.
Okay.
It's we moved to the ESRI products in 2001, very early 2000s, and we haven't changed our data structures very much since that time. Okay. And what's happened is the software company has created a lot of applications and software that read certain data sets that are structured in a very specific way. Ours aren't structured that way. And by taking our data and porting it to this new format or this new data model, it would be much, much easier to deploy applications into the near future.
Could you expound a little bit on what data you're talking about and what the software programs are you'd be able to facilitate with transferring it over?
Sure. The data specifically that we're talking about would be all of our primary mapping data sets, so all of our cadastral mapping, which would include parcels and right-of-ways and so forth, as well as our voting districts, as well as our topographic data. It'd primarily be almost all of our core data sets that we map on a day-to-day basis. What it would not necessarily be is it would not necessarily be special project data, smaller data sets that are focused around one-time use or very infrequent use.
So this would enhance our property inquiry, or not the property inquiry, but the GIS page on the website where people can go in and look at a parcel and get specific data on it?
Absolutely. What this would do, it would make it easier for us to create new applications with our data, using our data. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to throw out there as an example, if you look at Racine County has done a lot with mapping over the course, mm-hmm, of the last 2 years,
right,
probably. What they had to do is reformat their data into a specific data model. And then once it's there, they're able to deploy a lot of different types of, right, mapping applications. Where do people vote? Where do you... when there's a road closure during an emergency, you know, if we have the data in a specific model, we can very, very quickly deploy these applications using that data.
So like on our website where Mary, I think, has a section where you plug in your address and it tells you your polling location, so you'd be able to pull up a map of where their polling,
correct,
location is? Okay.
Correct.
So I'm envisioning that you're in GCS looking at, you know, this particular property, and you click on view property and GIS, and that'll take you there, and then from there there's other links like who your representatives are, where you would vote.
Correct.
So everything is connected.
Correct. We're doing some of those things,
yes,
already,
right,
and we can do those through IT, but what this effort will do is it will make it easier to deploy such applications in an easier fashion.
And then would you be able to go from the GIS side back to Landshark? Was that something you envision being able to do?
Correct.
So what you're saying really is we're making it easier so that when new technology comes forward and new programs that maybe Esri or somebody else comes up with, it makes it easier to use them.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, I think, you know, if my take on it is really it's more compatible plug and play with different applications that if we want to try to do something, it's almost ready to go instead of, okay, we need to develop something special. We need to, you know, map the data,
right,
you know, create the links, do all these different things. So it's more compatible with the off-the-shelf type of integration modules that we could look at.
Correct.
So how do you integrate the data this way?
How do we?
We got $50,000. How does that cover? How does you hire a company to do this? Or what do we do with that? How do we make that happen?
We would hire a company, we'd give them all of our data, and they would reformat it into this specific data model. And there's some cleanup of the data that has to happen at that time. It's not an easy just plug it in.
Mm-hmm.
If it were, it'd be easier.
We would have done it already?
We would have done it already. but just this is just a natural evolution of where the software and the mapping industry is going. And, you know, we've always been ahead of the game in terms of mapping for a very long time, but where that leaves us behind a little bit is sometimes we have to do this where we have to, you know, jog to the side a little bit and catch back up with our data models because we've been using what we've had and it's serviced us very well for a long time. Now we just need to make that little correction and get back in line with what the industry expects.
So do you think the $50,000 will be enough?
Yeah. How far does that go?
I believe 50,000 would be enough based on what I've seen that Racine County has gone through.
Okay.
I don't know how that is
changed. Similar amount of parcels?
I haven't spoken to a vendor very recently about it, but that's what they spent, and they had the data reformatting, plus they had a lot of applications that were deployed at that time. Okay. So, and if we didn't get everything they had, at least certainly we'd have a very, very good start at moving in that direction.
Oh, so, just another thing too. How does that help Andy then? Does that work coattail with you too?
Well, I think it would, because we use all that information, and then any application that would be
for future growth and future.
Any other applications that we would be looking to do, like the zoning one, I'm thinking,
correct,
make it a little easier.
If Andy wanted to have an application, a very simple standalone application for, okay, is my property in a floodplain? We could have a dedicated application for that. We could quickly deploy that, and he could get that up on his website.
Yeah.
So, Scott, what's the time frame do you think it would take to do this? You just have to have a contract before the end of the year? You just have to tell them you're going to use it before the end of the year?
We just have to tell them we're going to be using the monies for that purpose before
okay.
the end
so
of the
year. So that gives you enough time to flesh out who you want to use? And
Once that contract is approved at the state level, we would have until March of 2019 to use the funds.
Okay.
I would propose we don't right away use it in early 2018, because we're still going through the datum conversion project, and we want to get that all settled before we...
So you're thinking like mid-year?
Yeah, before we undertake another major project. So once that's done, then we could start talking to vendors right here, right around January 1st to June 1st, find a vendor, and then... they can work fairly quickly on.
Do you think redoing your data this way will help you at all when it comes time to census time again?
Oh, absolutely.
I'm just thinking, absolutely. Yeah. We're almost there again.
Mm-hmm. We're getting very close. So. And will.
So there, you know, I think that it's also fair to mention there is downstream impact of making this change, because we are going to have to go back in and redo everything that today is based upon the old data structure that we have. So that will include things like 911, the, you know, everything that we're doing on mapping for properties. So there is additional work besides just converting the data. It's making sure that we're changing our current applications to use the data in that new format. So
this is just the first step?
Jonathan's time. And mm-hmm.
IT feels like they're up to that challenge. I mean, that's not going to put a, it's not going to take down our 911 system.
That would be bad, right, Horace?
That would be really bad.
Horace,
really quiet.
The 911 system has a testing environment where we can test all these changes prior to implementation. So it certainly that certainly would be done prior to going live to make sure that they have zero downtime.
Will this break the links when it gets up? I mean, will all those have to be reestablished, or is that not affected?
The links
through ArcMap. Is it still going to be read the data from the same locations?
It will. It's coming from the same database server. It's just the data is going to be formatted very differently. It'll.
That part will be seamless then?
It'll be seamless. Okay. You won't notice that as an end user, but in the background, it's pointing at a different database. It's going to have a completely different structure. But on your templates in ArcMap, things will look very
much. So it's not like it has to switch locations, which is what happened at other time, and then everything had to get redone.
Well, yes, it's pointing at a new database, but on the same server.
Mm-hmm.
So the templates will have to be updated, certainly.
But do you know what I mean, though? So, like, when we're on there and we get the little red exclamation point?
That would happen again in this case.
Okay, so that's so it would happen mm-hmm. again it on would. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
Datum too. You'd be on a different datum.
Correct. And we're going through that exercise, like Rob points out, we're going through that exercise with the new datum conversion, too. We have to as Rob processes all this NAT 83 data for us, we're going to insert it into a database. We can't put it into our existing NAD 27 database. We have to put it into an empty NAD 83 database, and we're going to have to redirect all the templates to look at that new data. So
for elevation,
for just for the elevation portion, and so yes, so we're okay. Potentially talking about doing that twice in the next year and a half.
So does this mean we need to have a conversation with Dan and his data sets?
We can have a conversation with Dan.
Yeah, it's, we don't want to just plan on that. We can talk about that.
Who's Dan Treadler?
Land conservation does a lot of mapping stuff kind of separately. But, so, yeah. So, Scott, if this costs more than that, is there other funding that can be added to this if it is more, or then if it is less, do we then have the ability to choose something else?
If it is, I can speak to if it is less. If it is less, we could
add an app.
We could add an app. We could build upon this particular project, or we could talk to the state and say this didn't cost as much as we had anticipated. Can we do something else with these monies that is found within the plan?
And if it costs more, is there funding budgetarily to cover things?
That I don't know.
But then it could be held off to 2019 and then budget additionally, like if it came in at 70.
Correct.
Right.
We're in a very unique position because we're ahead of most counties in the state. We have all of our benchmarks done within the county. So we're in the fortunate position to be able to use these funds for projects that where we want to put the monies rather than
where we have to
for projects where we have to based on what the state says. So we're a little bit ahead of the game here.
Okay. So, I guess saying that, talking about budget and, if it does cost more, I think there's a lot of value and benefit, January 1st to start talking with potential vendors, getting ideas of cost so we can start, if it is more than $50,000, we can, get that into the 2019 budget and probably need to know that in, the May timeframe as far as if we need to request additional funds. So that would certainly be a to-do. I don't think I've ever seen a project come in less than what we expected. So my anticipation is that we need to either manage to this number, figure out what we can get done for $50,000. If there's a piece that we'd like to do additionally, and then we can budget for that in 2019. But, we can't be halfway done with it or two-thirds of the way done. And, there needs to be a logical break, and I think we'll understand that as you go through the reviews with the vendors and what they can provide.
And just a question. So just in my notes, I had down that we had 40,000, but then you're indicating it's 50.
40,000 was the projected.
Oh, okay. So we got a 10,000 bonus.
Yes. the state told everyone expect 40,000.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
But they knew it was going to be adjusted. They didn't know how much. They didn't know if they'd reach 50. But as the numbers shook out, every county across the state is getting 50,000 for this effort.
Every county?
Every county, correct.
So Scott mentioned, there are different options that we have, different projects that we can look at and evaluate. Taking a quick look at the 2018 budget that is not approved or fully bonded yet, there is a project for the Register of Deeds for some OCR work, and I think that was slated at 65,000, 62,000, around that number. Certainly we could entertain the idea of we could split the funds or we could do something different. I would envision that hopefully, you know, doing OCR work would fit within our strategic plan, what we have.
It does.
So we shouldn't be doing anything against the plan if we want to consider that. Saying that, you know, I guess I am a firm believer in we need to make a commitment to take a look at this. And I would, you know, I guess like to entertain a motion from the floor as far as, or discussion from the floor as far as other thoughts or ideas. You want to just say, okay, let's proceed with the project as identified by Scott, and let's take it from there. Or do you want to take a look at other projects, split up the funds between different projects, or what is the committee's desire?
How often do these funds get distributed?
Annually at this point.
Okay.
Now, it's anticipated that they will drop slightly in the coming years. How much? We don't understand that at this time.
So the last 2 years we used it for the conversion.
Correct.
This is our first year to use it for something else, and then in 2019 we'll be deciding for something else.
Correct.
Okay.
Is this, Scott, do you feel this is the best, highest and best use of the money in your opinion?
Well, in my opinion, from a mapping standpoint, mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of value in what everyone here brings to the table, and if there's other ideas, they should be given their due consideration.
I'm a big believer in staying. We're ahead of a lot of areas, and I think that's a good thing. We don't really want to fall behind.
Right.
I don't think anybody in the county board wants to fall behind.
Right. So is this, you know, saying that, Supervisor, is this, you know, is this something, Scott, if we don't fund through the grant, most likely we can see as a request coming into a future budget that we need to do this data conversion to
it very well could be
positioned for the future. So, you know, I think that's a...
I think, you know, when you see other counties with applications, especially counties that are near to us like Racine, where, you know, someone can go on their website and it's, you know, a click here and a click there and they can get all the data that they're looking for, the expectation is, why don't we have that too? So I think, you know, we do need to consider doing that type of thing. I don't like that Racine has it and we don't.
One of the few things.
So you think it's reasonable to believe we can do this within the $50,000?
I believe it is, yes.
Not asked for a guarantee. Reasonable. I move to approve Scott's idea.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Just on that note, if I just add, is that it might be good for us to create a list like from there so that we can think about this as we meet and prioritize, so that when it comes up for our funding next year, we don't have to rethink and try to pull out of a bag what do we want to do next, but we've already thought it through that, oh yeah, here's our next initiative that we want, which can always be adjusted, but at least we'll have like the top 10 or something.
Correct. And we'll talk, that'll be related to our land records modernization plan, which we'll talk about here in just
okay.
a second.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Ooh, the digital parcel map. How exciting.
The statewide digital parcel map, version 4. this spring, right after January 1st, the state DUA, via the Wisconsin Land Information Program, will put out the request for data sets from each and every county for mapping and tax data for the fourth iteration of the statewide digital parcel map. This data will have to be provided by the counties by March 31st. It is a requirement of the Wisconsin Land Information Program. So by doing so, it keeps us eligible for any of these grant funds we've been discussing here today. after the last iteration, last spring, DOA sent us some feedback on all of the data we sent, and they had suggestions on how we are to tweak that data to be easier to plug into their system here the next time around. So we have that feedback, and we will incorporate those changes into the data sets. And
so I'm just a little curious on that. You'll have the new data in there for Salem Lakes?
Yes, because we will wait to cut those data sets until after we make the change for Salem Lakes, correct.
Did we get a firm date from the state yet on that one, or no?
They, January 2nd.
January 2nd, for real, for real?
They're going live with it.
So you know I'll be rejecting documents with the old numbers.
Starting January 2nd.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we have every intention of fulfilling this particular request. It's a point of information for this committee that this is a requirement for all of these grant funds, and we will move towards that end in such a fashion. All of that data is available statewide via an application. It's available via data download, so if any of you would like to see it, you can literally look at a map of the state, go to any county you want, and see all the tax data that's there along with the mapping data. So it's a good effort. It serves data to a lot of different people and organizations, and it's a very valuable resource. That said, it's not the most current data that's out there. We have the most current data here. But I've talked to a number of people out in the industries, and they're very happy with the statewide parcel data set and its use. The U.S. Census Bureau LUCA program, this is another point of information for you. The very beginnings of the census, the 2020 census effort, are beginning to take place. The first steps that we are assisting with here at the county is the LUCA program, which is the local update to census addresses. And that effort is an effort to allow local units of government review all of the census data to try to provide any enhanced address data that the Census Bureau can use for the census. We have signed up as a county to participate in that program, and additionally a few municipalities throughout the county, and it's Summers, Bristol, Twin Lakes, and there's one more, it might be
Wheatland, didn't they ask?
And Wheatland. And Wheatland have asked us to participate on their behalf. So we will do so. It's a completely voluntary endeavor. And there is a lot of instruction from the state coming out on what we should do, what we should look for. In particular, the state says always check your group quarters throughout your county. So if that's prisons, hospitals, and so forth, that's where they see a lot of mistakes in census data traditionally. So we'll do the best we can and share
group
our
quarters.
Data sets where possible. There is a lot of data security issues related to this effort, and I had to sign documents saying that I would give my youngest away if I were to do anything untoward with the data. So literally we're promising not to let anyone else at the county see it other than two specific people. And we can't take the census data and use it in our databases in any way. We are required to keep it in a separate place under lock and key.
Haven't they always done it like that?
You
think it's stronger now than it used to?
Was it always like that? Yeah.
Last time I remember them being real itchy about anybody using their data.
I was at a bit more of a distance from it in 2008, 2009 when it happened, so I'm clear on that. But they really got it locked down.
They don't want for-profit people using it for profit,
right.
Essentially, is what it comes down to. So,
Just so that everyone is aware, we will be participating in that program. The data will be rolled out to us beginning in January, and I think by April, I want to say the end of April, it has to be reviewed and turned back into the Census Bureau at that time. So, are there any questions on that particular
thing? Who would be working on that, or is that secret?
Who will be working?
You can know who's working, yeah. But if they tell you anything, we have to tell you.
It'll be myself and Greg.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So, and you know, I did speak to you, Andy, the other day about group quarters and so forth, and that's where that question came from, is, okay, we have to look up or find some data sources for some of these data sets.
So like nursing homes and all that kind of stuff.
Nursing homes, hospitals.
I'd say nursing homes is probably our largest population of group quarters things.
Maybe. And the great thing about nursing homes are that they're licensed and there's state websites that
right.
have all of
everything.
That there.
Yeah.
Even group homes are licensed.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
If you're legal.
Right. Always that caveat right there, if you're legal.
So that effort will begin in earnest after the first of the year. And that will lead into the 2020 census, and then, you know, that will really kick into high gear in 2021 when the redistricting starts to happen and so forth. So, and the 2018 update to the land records modernization plan, as most of you will recall, in 2015, we had to update our land records modernization plan. This is our guide for anything regarding land records here at the county. And the state requires that we update this plan as a requirement for receiving grant monies. New is it has to be updated every 3 years now. It used to be every 5 years. So we did it in 2010, we did it in 2015. Now we have to do it in 2018. The state will be sending out the guidelines on how to fill it out in the middle of 2018. They are anticipating at this point that not a lot will change in the template. So it should be, based on what they're saying now, a fairly easy update. I anticipate we'll just need to take and... Add new project ideas. As well as talk about some of the projects that we've completed within the last 3 years. We have traditionally gotten together with members of the COM committee, and we have met 2 to 3 times to discuss the plan. I have always worked since 2005 to get all those ideas on paper. And then once that committee has approved the plan, we have brought it back to the Land Records Council here for approval. In 2015, we received it in midsummer, and we had it done in time to bring to this council in November. So my goal, I think, for this committee would be to have this document done again by next November so that it could potentially be approved at the November meeting of the council. So, but it shouldn't be, I don't foresee anything overly difficult about updating this plan at this time. That's all I have.
Any additional questions or comments for Scott or Rob on current activities?
So then what you're thinking is as we're working on re-upping our 2018 land records modernization plan, it's when we should start to think about what we want for our 2019 project?
Yes.
All right. And then I guess my problem always with that is the idea of, so we're thinking it might be around $40,000 again. Since you're young,
correct,
is trying to estimate how much cost of some of these ideas that we have in there might be.
It's hard to ballpark that, and the state tells you to just give the best estimate you can. And they understand these things change, and they've been very, very easy to work with as far as changing things after the application is in. So if we budget, you know, $30,000 for a project and we spend only 20, well, generally they've been very willing to work with us and make arrangements for how to use that other $10,000 and so forth. So, and they'll typically point back at the plan and say, use it for something else there, mm-hmm. or come up with a new project idea. The state wants every county to use all of these funds. They don't want any of it to go to waste, nor do we want to see that ourselves, because that's money that comes out of the pockets of our constituents here. And it's our duty to put it to good use. So,
well, I think to Terry's point, though, is that once we have like our list and we know which is the number one item for 2019, we can do some due diligence prior to that, figure out what it would cost, and then think that whatever that cost is, $40,000, would come from this, and then put in the budget, like through your budget, or maybe it would be someone else's budget.
Depending on the project, yeah.
Project, that's the rest of that. And then we'd always be working a year in advance, because you have to for the budget.
Yeah, we essentially have to know by like May of this year, of 2018, if there's something in 2019 that's going to cost more than $40,000.
Right.
Right.
So, like, I guess I'm just figuring that, like, this money has, like, a budget line item as revenue for it?
Yes.
And so then, is it just, does it just go in at 40 because you don't know what it's going to be at budget time? Is that kind of how it ends up happening?
We didn't put it in, so we have to do a budget mod.
Oh, in this particular case?
In this particular case, we have to do a budget mod.
But going in the future, we could just have, like, a 40 placeholder or something like that, right?
Yeah, you know, I think that finance is not really good on placeholders.
Okay.
You know, I think that if we had supporting information as far as what the project is, what the costs are, then we can enter that into the budget and we can show the revenue offsetting the cost. As we talked to Barna about this project with the GIS data making changes, his recommendation was just that, let's do a budget mod as we go forward in the future. Once we know the information, we know that we have funding, and then we can put that in and explain it credibly to the board if necessary. So,
but that might be different if we have a project that costs more than
exactly
$40,000.
$50,000 is the grant's been consistently that way for how many years now?
For the last 3 years?
Three years. Yep. Before that was somewhat lower, maybe? Or?
And before that, it was nothing.
They had a whole different structure. So, they,
okay.
Right, that was so, before we started sending them all that money.
Yeah.
We send a lot of money. To them. I sent $5 for every recording. Goes.
We send more than we get back.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right. So it gets spread around the rest
now,
of them.
That's our give back for everything we send.
But, but I mean, the vendors know that the counties are getting this money back, too.
Correct.
So they're looking. I mean, you know, it's like
they're like, how can we help you spend your money, kind of a thing.
You know, your building blocks are $40,000-$50,000 building blocks.
Correct.
And you find the matching money here somewhere else in the budgets, and that's probably the modification thing. That's fine.
What's happening at the state level is this. It looks like this pool of monies will be available through 2021 as of right now.
Okay.
And then it's not going to necessarily stop at 2021. They may just re-up it for another 3 years or so. And we just don't know exactly how much will be available. Will it be 40, 45, 35?
I'm sure it varies depending on how many documents and how they tweak that formula and allocation.
Correct.
Yeah.
Every year they take a little bit more out for the state for the statewide parcel initiative, for
other projects.
We're donors anyway.
Yeah, we are. Always have been.
It's ratchet.
We're praying for Crawford County to get some maps.
Very good. Any new business to bring up or discuss? Andy?
I was just going to bring up the thought about with CALM and the relationship with this committee is kind of like seemingly has changed over the years is CALM used to do a lot of the things that we have been talking about here, and CALM has now kind of gone into more of looking at the tickets for each individual member,
right,
and kind of working through that. So I didn't know if we wanted to like rethink, you know, doing CALM and or
revamp.
Yeah, or like the person who's at CALM that's not here is Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Is that if we feel that this is the committee that's kind of like really doing that work, that maybe however it can be done, maybe we should just look to see if Mary should be joining us as a user of the data, you know, as a member. I don't know. I didn't know. I just kind of was thinking.
I would actually like to see our CALM meetings go back to being more what they were and less of a review of our tickets. I would like to see us be a little bit more proactive on the land information project, and then CALM can bring back to this committee, because we meet at least 4 times a year.
Right.
We used to meet every month. But yeah, definitely, I have questioned myself in my own mind what happened that we went from being a land records meeting to a ticket review meeting, because it really has lost that flavor.
Yeah, and that would be in the reverse. So I guess there's two ways of going, is kind of reinvigorating that to what it was, or else converting this into like being the CALM.
Well, this would then have to meet more often.
I would rather reinvigorate that.
Well, and I don't know, is that good or is that bad? That's kind of throwing it out there.
I mean, we only meet twice a year, so that meets 4 times a year, and we can...
We used to meet monthly.
Yeah, we used to meet monthly, and we kind of, as a trial basis, moved it to 4 times a year. And if we needed to, if we really were going to invigorate it, because I was going to ask you, you talk about the CALM committee looking at the land information program. I don't recall doing that even for this for the last one for 2015.
Mm-hmm.
We did meet 2, maybe 3 times.
We did meet
on the plan
twice that I remembered, and then we had individual meetings with Al on our specific portions of it. And you. So, yeah. Because I think that's what that could lend to it, is that idea that it can meet more often and do some of the boots on the ground research and then come to this body as right. like an approval. You know, this right. is what we dug up on these projects. We went yeah. through these projects, we dug them up and we dug into this, and we found out that, you know, this will cost this much and this will cost that much, and then which one do you want to pick? And bring that to this body that has the approval of the dollar amount to do that.
We can do that. I just was trying to think of, instead of that, maybe this committee could be expanded a little bit and then do away with one, is my thinking. But we can go the other way too. It doesn't matter. But I just wanted to, I thought it would be good to discuss. Because it is a little, I mean, CALM is a little bit different. I mean,
right.
It does have a direct with IT because of the needs of information being distributed as an IT function, and that's how that works. But that's how this kind of committee is working. But then we have, you know, like Rob's extra and Horace, and you know, having that county
John,
board chair.
Joe, yeah.
Is there a charter for the CALM group? That was.
Did we ever have one?
Some time ago, as far as this is.
It's been around for 20 years,
yeah,
so, you know.
I was gonna say, it's been around a long time, and I'm not sure when, you know, kind of fully over. It really started when we first started integrating all of our systems back in 94. They started looking at, you know, why are we all separate? How can we all, what I have, you can access, and, you know.
Then my first several years, the focus was more getting more information online.
Right.
So then we really worked towards the property inquiry and the mapping websites.
Right. Yeah, all that.
And all
there.
That stuff came out of it.
Right.
So we're kind of at the enhancement point now. So, you know, maybe we do need to have part of our CALM meeting agenda be, instead of just tickets, have, you know, Scott have a you know, agenda items for this particular for these particular things, for the land record modernization, and, you know, what we're looking at and where we want this to go. Unless, you know, I don't know how the rest of you feel about that.
So were you kind of thinking, Marty, that we, if there was a charter, to go back and look at what was the purpose of that?
Exactly.
And if it needs to be changed or anything, so.
Updated, yeah.
Makes sense.
Kind of the way I look at a CALM meeting right now, and I have not attended any, so this is my perception. It's an opportunity to get together with IT and talk about, you know, how are things working with TriMin? How are things working with GCS? You know, hey, I opened a ticket. I didn't hear back. What's right. the status? Right. When am I going to get new computers? I mean, it just seems like right. it's more.
That's what it's become.
That's what it's IT become. That's what that's not what it always was, but it's right. what it's become.
Right.
I would say. So. Before it was some aspect of that, but it was more talking about these common goals that utilize and work with all of our departments right. and how we can better do it together. So that we ran into fewer roadblocks between departmental walls on, you know, how we would use data that comes from her office or data that comes from my office and all of that kind of thing. We'd all
or
sit together and
like
agree.
I'd be like yeah. with you with GCS, I'd get information on what's happening with that and when's that going to go live and, you know, right. what are the things, your problems you're running into. Because no matter, you know, none of us are an island and we all rely on each other's information. And the public expects us to know what's going on, too. I mean, they'll call me and, you know, want information on GCS, and I can't just be like, I don't know.
Well, and it was great because we were one of the only counties at the time that had all the departments right. talking and working mm-hmm. to a common goal, and that's right. why we're ahead of everybody.
Mm-hmm. So I would see a big piece of that meeting being more, hey, you know, I took a look at Racine County's website or mapping. They're doing something really cool.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And how do we get there? What is this going to take? Everybody take a look at it, you know, do different things, more business function related to land management than
right.
talking about IT.
It was some of that. And then also because all of our offices kind of get input from the people that use our data and are in our offices, it was always a discussion of that. It's like, all right, people are going crazy on the website trying to get this information and work this out. How can we better provide that or do it in a, show it in a different way so it's easier for people to understand what they're looking at? Those sorts of discussions would happen too. So not just the cool stuff that other places have, but also trying to problem solve what the public is looking at. So maybe structure it a little bit so we have time and ideas
so
for that
if
stuff.
There was a charter, I mean, who would have
that? I mean, that goes way back.
Corporation Council.
Yeah. Yeah.
More than 20
back.
Years.
Yeah.
So.
The mid-90s.
Yeah, it's since the mid-90s, so God only
yeah.
knows.
If no one can find one. Establish a new one.
If, yeah. yeah, that might be the thing to do. Is
I know, you know, since I've been doing it, it has been more of the ticket review, project mm-hmm. review. It does sound like we need to change focus to more of that project business aspect of things. Mm-hmm. You know, I think traditionally it was harder for you guys to see the status of your tickets and stuff like that, and it's not the case anymore. I mean, it is easy enough to just log onto the portal and say, okay, this is what I still have open, and you know, me and Sean are always available at any time if something's
right.
not going.
And the thing that was very helpful when I had, you know, big projects going on, like even most of my stuff that I've gotten accomplished the last couple of years with your help, is I didn't always know what was going on. So I would get, you know, I knew at least when we were meeting monthly that I would get a regular monthly update on, you know, without having to be calling you constantly, what's happening here, when, you know, what's going on. So there's been value to it. I don't want to make it seem like there was no value, but that land management piece was kind of lost.
And it's true. I mean, from a standpoint is back then we couldn't follow tickets.
You couldn't log in and look at
it. It's very important for those to be told to us, but that has advanced so much now. Is it's a little different. So I guess maybe we need to.
I think before it was kind of the tickets would generally provide discussion points that would then come into more ideas, because that's really mm-hmm. how, when I would put out a ticket there and say that I've had complaints from title companies that they can't see splits and combinations easier, then we'd have a discussion on how we could better show them on the website, and then mm-hmm. That's how those things. So sometimes, you know, they're a good starting block, but it shouldn't be the end all be all probably.
It still can be a component, but not
yeah.
the main.
Right.
So who is not represented here from Calm? Is it just
Mary?
Just Mary, yeah.
Is it worth having a, you know, a separate discussion of the Calm group just to say, hey, you know, collectively, now that we've had an opportunity to discuss and think about it a little bit, we'd like to create a charter and get Mary involved and, you know, draft something up and said, you know, these are our thoughts.
And I think that would be a good idea.
For the next meeting, maybe structure it such that, you know, it's a mix of not only IT related things, but it's also business process, workflow, cool ideas.
All of those things.
So then that would be like the first quarter of 18. Is that when we would then be
meeting Mike? Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would think it would be one of the principles of the Calm Group that would take the leadership role to work on the business side of things, the land management pieces of it. And certainly from an IT perspective, Mike can continue to do what he's done for the tickets and general IT updates, those type of things. But, you know, more of a shared responsibility, and first half is going to be moderated or led by one of the Calm members.
And I think that's fair, and I think, to be fair, the reason why when this came about, I insisted that IT be involved in the Land Records Committee, because statutorily you don't have to be here, but that it was important is because we saw the importance of that when we had the Calm meeting, and how important all of these projects that we all had in mind, and getting the IT perspective and the idea, because you guys have cost ideas on how much these things, much better than any of us. It just seems like such an easy idea when we say it together that we should do this. It should work easily. So I think it's important to have that balance between the consumers and the people who are going to have to do it.
Sure.
And then deliver.
Yeah.
And that'll be good, because then Calm is then going to be still maintaining that role to review the land records, because that's the key group. And then, like you said, it gets reported to this committee.
Mm-hmm. So I think one of the ideas for the charter would be, you know, to be the feeder group that really has a number of different ideas, mm-hmm. prioritize those ideas, get some, you know, work together to get some ideas for cost. And then that gets bubbled up to the land council. And, you know, we discuss them, try to understand them, and
and yeah, vote, because this is the voting authority.
This is the voting money place. It's right here.
Yeah. Right. I think that's a better way to do it.
I think so, too.
Good.
All right.
So who's going to lead that?
Scott, do you feel the love? He's not official till January, but you know.
Being the LIO, and this is the Land Information Council.
It is, and I would be happy to lead you.
All right, there you go.
Cool, that was easy to decide.
is there a motion on that?
I don't think we have to have a motion.
At Calm, we'll do a motion.
Yeah, at Calm, we'll do something. Yeah.
Yeah, well, thanks for just letting me bring that up.
Well, Andy, thanks for bringing it up. I needed to
nominate Scott.
Up.
I will nominate Scott to lead.
You accept that?
You've been thoroughly drafted, Scott.
any other new business?
Horace, anything exciting in emergency management? We got to know.
I guess, you know, from just the county surveyor side, there was discussions, and this wasn't in Kenosha. This was outside of Kenosha, but. The question came up, you know, once we moved to NAD 83, that, you know, why would we need to maintain monuments? And, you know, because we'll have now accurate coordinates established on NAD 83. So, you know, the commission, you know, took a position of, okay, that's been mentioned, let's go and evaluate the possibility, and you know, with the use of just coordinates. So we looked at it legally, technically, and also just miscellaneous. That's miscellaneous includes public interest and costs. So in the process, obviously legally, there's a lot of case law, statutory law, things of that sort that strictly prohibit, you know, any kind of use of coordinates. Over what is physical and what is, you know, with the monuments. Technically speaking, you know, with GPS and GPS technology, GPS does a fantastic, you know, is a fantastic tool. But it is a coordinate, is not even a, a coordinate is a measurement, but not even, you know, given the fact that measurements have errors already, as, you know, just by definition. But coordinates have additional indirect, indirectly have an additional error in the fact it's got a datum and a coordinate projection that it has to reference. So that said, it was one of those where, you know, looking at that, you know, that that would have a negative impact on the degradation of the system that was already put in place in trying to recover, relocate the you know, the corners. And then the last was looking at it from a cost, and the cost aspects were, you know, a very small amount of you know, a percent of the cost associated with establishing that monumentation was, you know, obviously every dollar is significant, but I think with the overall integrity of maintaining the system that's already, that has spent, you know, over the decades, you know, reestablishing it from, you know, from the original public surveys, it was, you know, the return on investment would be detrimental, you know, that what we've already spent in just maintaining, you know, the system itself. So in a nutshell, I mean, the commission concluded that, you know,
sticking with monuments.
All right. But we wrote a technical report on it. And if you're interested in it, we just finished it up, you know, on having that report. And I have reports, so if anybody's interested in taking one, you know, we're happy to provide. And we thought we would have something at least written down as a document. So if it does come up in future references, that we have something documented to help aid in that evaluation, you know, as far as in this, you know, look with coordinates. Obviously, you know, technology is wonderful. I enjoy it, but. But there are still some hurdles to go for in going forward. So, but like I said, we just finished it up a few weeks ago. So that was something I just wanted to throw out and, you know, mention.
Are you comfortable with that direction, or were you a proponent to, hey, we, you know, everything is virtual now, and, or what?
You know, the thing about it is my background, upon graduating, is all it's geodetic related. It was GPS. I've dealt with inertial measuring systems. I've worked in 46 out of the 50 states, and a couple other countries, doing surveying and use of GPS technology. So I love GPS, but there's a fine line where in surveying, land surveying, it's about the what's in the ground, and the footsteps of the surveyor is critical. I love technology, but that's a tool. You know, it's kind of one of those where, you know, you have a hammer, you know, there's different types of hammers, and, you know, and you don't necessarily, that helps you build the house, but that's not the house. I mean, it's getting you there to you know, and helping you make that, but it's still, you know, the monument is
the foundation of the house.
It is the information that you have to stand by. And and you can see technology as it's driving. You know, that when you look out and see technology with automatic grading systems and the use of, as a surveyor, when I first started out, I was the rod man, and I pounded in hub after hub after hub, and watching, you know, bulldozers and, you know, graders just ripping them up right behind me. And knowing that I'm going to have to go right back around and pound in and do it again. And now today, it's, you know, did lights sit in the grader and tell you, you know, raise the blade a little higher or a little lower, and, you know, the technology drives that. And technology is going and will continue to advance. But, you know, still today, people, from the public interest side, people relate with monuments. People see monuments. Coordinates are not visible.
They're not tangible.
They're not tangible. That's exactly it. So the importance of the monumentation and what's physical helps people relate with the information that they own and occupy. So
this could be very similar to the Bitcoin versus the U.S. dollar, right?
Yes.
So. I got a corp council opinion. I don't have to take Bitcoin, all right? They tried to. I said no.
When it's solid-backed.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Right.
The other is...
fictitious. Yeah. You don't know anything.
That's what it's called,
exactly.
Bitcoin.
That's
same
exactly
family.
It. That's actually a good analogy.
Yeah.
Very true. Mm-hmm. So.
Good.
All right.
Andy?
The other thing I was just going to add is that even though the... aerial photography for 2018 was not decided to move ahead with, I would hope and strongly like to encourage our council here that we would still want to keep looking to do a midterm aerial flyover. I think as a council, we've kind of thought that was the way where we wanted to go. I think, John, you were kind of supportive of that too, thinking, you know, from a county board perspective with development is that would be something that we'd want to keep moving forward. And I only bring that up because it seems like we want to always keep that in the forefront of everyone's thinking, so then when 2022 comes around, we don't bring it up and no one's like thought about it or everyone forgot about it, and you have to re-educate everybody again regarding that.
Right. Scott and I had some discussion on this. I think we would be due for another flyover in
2020, maybe?
2020. So Scott has had some discussion with finance. They say, okay, let's put it into the strategic plan for 2020. I'm going to continue to push with Scott to say, let's try to get it in 2019. That's 4 years. I think that we can justify the tremendous growth in the county and the changes that it makes sense to try to move it up a year. So if we can do that, I think that would be great. But I totally agree with you, Andy, that we need to continue to push for updated information and more current, especially since all the growth that we're seeing.
Yeah, and I don't know exactly, I haven't really thought about it, but that every 5-year increment, you know, has been standard. So having that 5-year seems to be a good thing. And then having now moving to being able to do like a mid-year, which I think it would be, can't do 2.5, you have to do 2 or 3, seems to be what would be beneficial. So are you thinking of moving the 2020 down to 2019?
Yes.
Really? Okay. Yep. And then the next one would be?
In 2023?
I think if we can sell.
A 4 year?
So you're thinking of not going to a 5-year with a midterm. You're just thinking of switching to a 4-year.
Right.
Okay. All right. So that's a little bit different way to approach that.
By doing so, we would be potentially giving up some financial benefits that we received through the commission at the 5-year cycle. So I personally would like to see us stick to that 5-year cycle, if at all possible, and find a year in between. If we do, I'm not saying we can't do 2019, but it'd be nice if we did 2019, if we could do it right again in 2020 again, which that's a hard sell, I understand.
Because, I mean, from the standpoint of the 2020, when everyone's doing it almost,
correct.
There's huge cost savings that we've experienced.
Didn't we at one point look at just doing flyovers over like our major change zone? I don't remember what was ever decided on that.
That was for LIDAR.
Okay, that was
not,
it. That
not
was
for
it.
Aerial
was
imaging.
Did
yeah.
Illinois?
Correct.
Yeah. I'm like, I thought we looked about doing like the corridor and the big change areas.
Well, and I think we did think about that too.
Yeah, for aerial, right? Didn't we?
And then the DOT threw us off because they didn't finish the job.
Right, that was it.
Yeah.
I knew something.
But they did say that they could stitch our area photography
in if we did just like the high change areas in the mid-year times.
But now the cost has come down so much, we can almost, from my understanding, is fly the whole county for the price of what it used to be just to
fly the
specific
sections.
Areas.
And the state has a recommendation for those for the LIDAR to do it once every 7 or 8 years, and it's I'm finding also that it's easier just to refly everything within that 7 or 8 year window, and I think we'll be good, especially from an elevation standpoint.
Yeah, and the only reason I bring that up is because for talking about now holding off 2018 because of development, we're always going to be in that situation mm-hmm. if we think we're in the location where we're at, where development's going to always be happening. And if you hold off, then you're going to hold off.
Then you're going to wait till 2020 because you're only a year away.
Right. So yeah. I think that's why I want to kind of just bring that up for discussion purposes so that we have it, because I know in the past on some of these things, you almost have to talk about it for 2 years to get everyone to agree on it and to accept it and then to be able to get it in the budget.
Has there been any discussion in the Planning Commission about frequency or changes?
Not frequency. For long-term planning purposes, they felt that every 5 years was sufficient for their looking at it for planning. Anything, you know, as far as earlier than that, they felt that it would. If counties were making decisions as far as they wanted to for their own internal to fly at earlier frequencies, they because of the fact that the whole region wasn't being flown, they didn't really include that in their planning, just because it was it might cause some issues because of a not having a consistent data set to work with. So, as benchmarks.
That might be another reason why to stay with the 5 years, because everyone else is doing a 5 year and it becomes a benchmark to measure everyone by.
Right. The only thing that I was going to suggest is because you use oblique, you could look at oblique on the odds,
on the in-between cycle.
In-between, and then look at just nadir, imagery. Over the region collect as an option.
Okay.
So you're able to see. You're still seeing growth and delineating the growth, but yet you're having the obliques.
Right.
The only thing with that is that the obliques aren't public.
Right.
From a standpoint.
Exactly. Well, we would, as far as the region, we would only be looking at the nadir imagery, for our planning purposes.
Because I just know from a standpoint of development, I mean, what we have is so valuable in promoting development and growth, and being able to look, when they look at those for early planning, is very beneficial for us as a county.
Okay. Anything else?
Motion adjourned.
Do we have a second?
Second.
So moved. Thank you.
John.
Oh. I didn't even
John's out. He's got another meeting in like 4 hours. He's like,